In your Bibles, please. Jeremiah chapter 9. I don't have any dry or corny jokes for you this morning. I apologize for those of you who are accustomed to those sad and pathetic little offerings that I give you occasionally. Jeremiah chapter 9, if you would please stand in honor of God's word. We'll read in verse 1. It says, "Oh, that my head were waters and mine eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. Oh, that I had in the wilderness a lodging place of wayfaring men, that I might leave my people and go from them. For they be all adulterers, an assembly of treacherous men." This is the nation of Israel he's talking about here. It's his country. It's his people. "And they bend their tongues like their bow for lies, but they are not valiant for the truth upon the earth, for they proceed from evil to evil, and they know not me, saith the Lord. Take ye heed, every one of his neighbor, and trust ye not in any brother, for every brother will utterly supplant, and every neighbor will walk with slanders. And they will deceive every one his neighbor, and will not speak the truth. They have taught their tongue to speak lies and weary themselves to commit iniquity. Thine habitation is in the midst of deceit. Through deceit they refuse to know me, saith the Lord. Therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will melt them and try them. For how shall I do for the daughter of my people? Their tongue is as an arrow shot out. It speaketh deceit. One speaketh peaceably to his neighbor with his mouth, but in the heart he layeth his weight. Shall I not visit them for these things, saith the Lord? Shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? For the mountains will I take up a weeping and wailing, and for the habitations of the wilderness a lamentation, because they are burned up, so that none can pass through them, neither can men hear the voice of the cattle. Both the fowl of the heavens and the beast are fled. They are gone." Let's pray. Father, we love you today and thank you, Lord, for your precious word. We thank you, Father, that we can have this King James Bible in our hands. We have your word in our own language, Lord, that we can read and understand. And Father, we just give you all the honor and glory this morning. Holy Spirit of God, go before me now, move up and down the aisles and move in my heart, touch my lips, and give me just the right words to preach, Lord, that would honor and glorify your name. In Jesus' name I pray and ask it all. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. The voice of the cattle is gone. The voice of the cattle is gone. Weird title. Lord always gives me these weird titles. But when I saw that, neither can men hear the voice of the cattle, it kind of stirred something inside of me, because I love cows. I know that sounds weird. Anybody here ever raise cattle? Okay. I have too. I love cows. I really don't like horses. I know horses are beautiful and their mane flows in the breeze. I can't stand horses, to be honest with you. I don't like horses. I don't like cats. Now that's just an inherent, you know. Okay, we're not gonna get crazy. I shouldn't have said it. Okay, you know. Now I will take cats if you want to make a nice welcome mat out of dead cats and bring it to me. I'll take that, you know, okay. Boy, I got some weeping and wailing, gnashing of teeth on that. So we'll just move on. But my dad always, we always had cattle when I was a boy. He always would raise two or three. we just had a little place, 5 acres, and we always had 2, 3, 4 cows hanging around the house, waiting. Well, you know what I'm saying, but is this funny? I wasn't trying to be funny, but whatever. Anyway, I get you. I see what you're saying. But we always raised cattle at our house. We always had them, and I was the oldest, so for most of the time, and so I was the kid that got to feed them all the time. So I spent a lot of time with those cattle. And I often think back. I live in the city now, and I don't get to raise cattle. If I ever get a place of my own out in the country again, we're having cows. My wife already knows that. We've already discussed this. It's just going to happen. We're still arguing back and forth over chickens, but cows are going to happen, okay? Cows are going to happen. Now, you say, why? Why, you know, what's the big deal about cattle? I can't really explain it, but there's something. If you've raised them and you've been around them, there's something very mellow and calming and soothing about cattle. I'm being serious here. There's something about them that, at least to me, it's very calming to have cattle around. Anybody else feel that way? Am I the only weirdo here? But I remember the first time we went to my parents' house after we were married. We were spending the weekend there, and there was this heifer out in the field bawling, you know. She wanted her a man, you know, and so this heifer was out there, and if you ever hear a heifer getting a bawling fit, it is kind of a weird, it almost sounds like a donkey. Hee-haw, hee-haw, hee-haw. It almost sounds like that. And so it was about 10 o'clock at night, and this heifer started bawling, and my wife, she's from Michigan, you know, Detroit suburb. We ain't having no cattle, you know, or any of that stuff. She sat up in the bed and said, "What is that?" I just rolled over and said, "Honey, it's just a cow. Don't worry about it. Just go back to bed." But to me, it was just something I'd heard all those sounds all my life, you know. I was raised up around it. You know, I was used to that. She didn't know what it was. But I think on this verse here, this passage, and now I'm going to get serious now, and I'll probably stay serious the rest of the time. Jeremiah was called the weeping prophet for a reason. His ministry lasted 42 years. 42 years he preached to the nation of Israel that they were going to be taken captive by a neighboring nation. 42 years he preached this. And you know how long it was until they took him captive? 40 years. So for 40 years, he's preaching this and preaching this and preaching this. We got you? Got me there, Red? No, this is Red, not you. 40 years he's preaching this. Nation of Israel, you better turn from your ways. You better amend your ways, because if you don't, God is going to send you into captivity. I can't imagine a worse fate for America than Russia to invade us and haul us off to Russia, shove us out in Siberia somewhere on some potato farm, raising sugar beets. They raised lots of sugar beets up there. Don't ask me how I know that. But they, you know, but think about that for a minute. This is my homeland. I was born and raised here. I love America. It's the greatest nation in the whole world. Still is, and always will be. Even if it's not, it will be right here. But Jeremiah preached this and preached this and preached this and preached this to his people, his own people. If you don't turn from your ways, God's going to send us into captivity for 40 years. And they're like, yeah, whatever, you know. Yeah, we've heard it for 40 years. Give us a new story, Jeremiah. We've heard it. And then what happens? Bam. The Chaldeans invade Israel and take them captive. Now, just so you understand what happens when, at least back in this day, when a neighboring country would invade another country. Number one, what would happen is, got a demon here flying around me. Number one, what would happen is all of the middle-aged men that are of fighting age, they get killed. That's number one. Every male from 18 to 45 or 50, they get slaughtered. Okay? So how many married women do we have here? Raise your hand. You're married. You're now a widow. Okay? You're now a widow. Okay? That's number one. Number two, every girl between the age of about 7 and 17, I'm not going to get explicit, but you get hauled away for other purposes. Okay? You get hauled away to be a housemaid, and that term housemaid has a lot of filthy connotation to it. It's not cleaning and dusting. Okay? So you're gone. Any wife that is pregnant, it was a common practice. The soldier would take the knife and slice open the belly, pull the baby out of the womb, and smash it against the wall. I'm not trying to be gross or gory, but this is reality. And Jeremiah was trying to save the nation of Israel from this fate. Well, 40 years of preaching that, and nobody believed him, or nobody cared or listened. And so it happened. It happened. Now, if you go back and you read Israel's past, that didn't happen one time. It happened seven times. Seven times. God tried to get their attention until finally he had to say, okay, you're all dispersed. For 2,000 years, the nation of Israel was not a people. It was not a nation. They were scattered the world over. And nowadays, of course, we know, you know, prophecy has come to pass in many ways. But I want to take these verses and show you America for a minute. I want to show you the country that I live in. I've told my children 10 times, if I've told them once, kids, you'll never know the country that I grew up in. When I was a boy living out in rural northeastern Ohio, I was surrounded by Amish people. You know, never one time did we ever lock our doors at night. A security alarm system wasn't even thought of when I was a boy. The only time we ever locked our doors is when we went on vacation for 2 weeks in the summertime. That was the only time. Many a time, and I'm sure you can all, middle-aged and older, you can vouch with me, vouch for this for me, but many a time on a Saturday, we would hang around the house and be working, waiting for friends to show up. And people would show up we hadn't seen in 10 years. This happened on a regular occurrence with us. And I don't think I was the only kid in America this happened to. Nowadays, people are rushing here and there. We're busy. We got soccer. We got karate. We got ballet for Colton. No, just kidding. Just messing with Colton. But we're all busy going every which way, every direction. We don't have time to take a moment and stop and visit with somebody. Look at this nation here. In verse 2, it says, oh, that I had in the wilderness a lodging place of wayfaring men, that I might leave my people and go from them. Here Jeremiah is saying, God, these people are so wicked and so godless, I don't even want to be in my own country anymore. Do you know what that must have felt like? You know, I've told my wife this, and don't call me a communist. And this probably won't set well with some of you. But I'm just telling you in my heart. Sometimes I look at America and it makes me want to move to Israel. And this is the place that I was born and raised in and I love. But it tears my heart out to see the wickedness in this nation. It tears my heart out. Look at verse 2 there at the end of it. It says, they be all adulterers, an assembly of treacherous men. Adultery and fornication in America is out of control. Do you know that it's estimated that 30 to 60% of all married couples have cheated on each other? That's a big number, folks. And we can sit back and say, my, isn't America horrible? I'm talking about right here. Right here. I'm not talking about out there. It's everywhere. It's everywhere. Now, God's people, of course, we live with the power of the Holy Spirit inside of us and all that, and the numbers are lower here in the church house, but it still invades the church house too. God help us in this country. It's not fornication, now it's having a fling. No, it's godlessness, it's adultery, it's fornication, it's wicked. The Bible calls it abomination. You know, and people say, well, we don't want to live in sin, so we'll just live together. Guess what? You're still living in sin. God created the institution of marriage for a reason. I know that may get on somebody's nerves, or if you're here today and you're here and you've lived with your common law wife or husband for several years, I'm not trying to ride your case, but friend, the Bible says it's wrong. Okay? And you can't just say the thing of, well, we just don't have the money to. Hey, if that's the case, then money is your God. If you're saying that money is more important, then money's your God. Adultery, it's rampant in this nation. And then, look, it says in verse 3, and they bend their tongues like their bow for lies. Have you ever seen a time in your life when lying was more prevalent than today? You can't believe your own mother if she's telling you your shoes are untied. Now, I'm over-exaggerating there, obviously, but the point is, why do you think that all these institutions, they have you sign here, initial here, sign here, initial here, date this, give us a blood sample here, picture of your firstborn. Why do they want all that stuff? Because people lie. Because people lie. Of course I'll pay my bill. No, I'm not paying that. My brother is a repo man.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. And not only is he a repo man, he repos semis, tractor trailers, and charter buses. And he says the charter buses. I won't tell you the nationality because it sounds prejudiced. It's not from America. It's way over. But he said there's a certain Eastern nation of men. They come here, and their sole purpose is they'll put a very small deposit down on a charter bus, and that's it. They have a system. They never intended to pay for the bus. Now, you're talking about a vehicle that's worth almost $500,000, okay? And so then all their buddies get together, and they have all these little warehouses, and they park them, and they hide them, and they watch out for each other. They have a whole system of, you know, so next time you take a trip to Niagara Falls, check out the bus driver real close, because you just never know. You know, you might be hijacked and be headed for Eastern Europe somewhere before it's over with. But people are liars. They're liars today. You ever meet up with some of these people that they say, I caught a fish that was 18 pounds, you know, 63 inches long, and it was in that pond right there. I can't stand that. I'd just as soon walk up to him and say, hey, you know what? You're a liar. But we live in a nation of lies and deceit. Look then at what it says there. It says in verse 5, they will deceive everyone, his neighbor, and will not speak the truth. They've taught their tongue to speak lies and weary themselves to commit iniquity. In other words, they're so sin happy that they're wearing themselves out by doing it. They've got sin on the brain. It's overtaken their lives. Does that sound like a nation you know? Sounds like America to me. Sin on the brain. Look at 2 Peter chapter 2 for a minute. This is nothing new. It's not like this is the first nation or the last nation that this will ever happen to. But look at what Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 2, in verse 13. And shall receive the reward of unrighteousness as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots they are and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery and that cannot cease from sin. See, Peter had him back in his day. The wicked and the ungodly element is always going to be among us. But look around you, folks. Look at America. Look at the state that we're in today. When President Clinton was in office, well, I'm kind of you hear the godless crowd, the comedians on television saying, I'm kind of glad that he's playing around on his wife. They made big jokes out of it. Committing sodomy in the White House. Yeah, that's a big joke. God doesn't think it's a big joke. God thinks it's an abomination. And it starts at the bottom and works its way up. But it's all around us. We've got a nation full of people that they're exhausting themselves, exhausting our own resources on sin. I never thought I'd live to see the day. And you can disagree with me if you want, this Casey Anthony thing. It made me sick at the pit of my stomach when they said that she was acquitted. So you can just go out and you can murder your baby as much as you want to, murder your children because it's a drag being a parent. And that's okay with America. That's okay with the judicial system in America. God help this nation. God help us. What have we become? I looked this up. Remember this name? Andrea Yates or Susan Smith? Both of them, they drowned their children. The one gal there, I think it was a Susan Smith, wasn't she the one that pushed her kids down in the lake in the car? And I know this isn't too Christian, but I think they should have took that old gal and put her in a car and shoved her in a lake. Amen. And just say, there's your sentence, baby. See how you like it once. Amen. And that other gal drowned her kids in the bathtub. That's what they should have done to her. Amen. God help us. What's wrong with this? Do you know how many pornography websites there are on the internet? Somebody take a guess. 4.2 million. 4.2 million. And there are 68 million logons a day. 68 million. This is a number for you. 16 million kids, 16 million teenagers in America use marijuana on a regular basis. 16 million. According to estimates, there's 14 million openly practicing homosexuals in America. And I got news for you, there's a whole bunch more of them still in the closet. There's scads of them. They're everywhere. People that, I'm not even going into it. 7 billion with a B, gallons of beer are consumed in this country every year. 7 billion. And there's been 57 million abortions in this country since 1973. You know, the first thought that came to my mind when I read that was, how many were there before 1973? Been around for almost 200 years. Some woman died, you know, in a closet somewhere trying to God help us in this nation. And I got to thinking about that, and if you've been around me very long, you know I'm a math guy. I like numbers. I love numbers. And so if you saw me playing with my phone up here, I was using the calculator. Do you know how many 57 million is? Fill this auditorium with golf balls 5 times. That's a lot of babies, folks. That's a lot of babies. And you think God's just going to say, well, I'm just going to keep on blessing America because you're my favorite. I thank God I was born in the greatest country in the world. But it breaks my heart when I think about things like that. When I think about openly practicing homosexuals and the drunkenness and the immorality that goes on in this country. What is it going to take, people? What is it going to take for America to turn back to Jesus Christ and righteousness and godliness? I don't know the answer. I don't think I want to know what it's going to take. You know what it took for them? It took Israel being banished as a country. I don't know about you, but I don't want to leave this land that I live in. I love America. I made a missions trip to Mexico one time, and when I got back, when we landed, I kissed the ground. I was so thankful to be back home in the greatest country in the world. But we're exhausting our resources on sin. We've become a nation of liars. Adultery and fornication is rampant, just like in Jeremiah's day. And then look what he says also. He says here, in verse 6, thine habitation is in the midst of deceit. See, that's the worst part of it all. That's the worst part of it all. And we've got that so bad in America right now. It's okay. Everything's all right in my Father's house. You've got the Joel Osteens of America attracting tens of thousands of people to his church. I watched that old joker the other day about 25, 30 minutes. I heard the word in 25 minutes. I heard the word of God. I heard the word God twice. That was it. The word sin, blood, hell, salvation, none of that was there. And this was the bulk of his message. And that's what people want in America. Because why? Because, yeah, you're a good fella. Makes us feel good about the place we live. Yes, that's exactly it. 2 Timothy chapter 3, we have itching ears. Yeah, you're a good fella. You're a good Christian. Hogwash. Read God's word one time and see if we're really that good of a Christian. Read God's word once or twice and see how close to God America is. You say, well, it sounds like you don't like the country you live in. I love it. I love it. But it breaks my heart to see it in the state that it's in. I remember all those times when I was a kid hearing the cows outside bellowing and hollering, and I thought that was just a really cool thing. I don't know why, it's just me. And being living around Amish people, we saw them walking down the road. You know, they'd get out of there, because Amish people and fences, you know, they're not much on any. Anyway, cattle could walk through an Amish fence in 2 seconds. They just, you know, there's two wires, and they just, oh, hey, what's this for? Well, we'll just get out of here. And they're walking down the road, and, you know, I'd see it all the time, and they're bellowing, and then you'd see some Amish kid out there trucking after a cow, you know. But what is Jeremiah saying there about the voice of the cattle is gone? That was their livelihood. You know, we talk about the fact of, jobs are getting scarce. And they are. The unemployment is on the rise. And it is. All these jobs have left the country. And they have. Why? Why? Well, it's because we're not playing hardball with the country. No, that has nothing to do with it. It has nothing to do with the White House. It has everything to do with this house. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. See, it's not enough for us to say, oh boy, it's wicked out there. We got to get serious about this, folks, before we lose this nation that we live in. Yesterday, I was thankful to be here. I was able to come out to visitation, and there was, I think they said there was about 32 people, counting bus visiting and everything, about 32 that came out. Now, I want to challenge all of you who came out on visitation yesterday. I want to challenge you with something. You go and get somebody that doesn't come. Get one of your friends in this church that doesn't normally come to visitation and say, come on, you come with me, I'll do the talking. How tough can that be, right? It's kind of quiet in here. Won't you do that? This is America we're talking about, folks. And this is not just some 40-something-year-old guy up here flapping his lips, people. This is reality. Do you think God is just going to let this slide and let it slide and let it slide? How long? How long is God going to sit on the sidelines and say, okay, America, just keep on killing babies. Just keep on living in sodomy. Just keep on committing adultery and fornication and wickedness and immorality and drunkenness. How long? How long is it going to stay like this? I pray, God, until the rapture, but I don't know that. You don't know that. We can't make that claim. You say, boy, this is a real doom. This is a bummer of a Sunday sermon. This is a doom and gloomer. No, this is what they call a reality message. But it doesn't, the thing of it is it doesn't have to be this way. It doesn't have to end with America going out, you know, in a puff of smoke. It could be that if God's people would get their hearts right, if we would really take this seriously, we could become the light that we used to be. Now, I know we're still printing Bibles, and that's probably why God is still letting us exist. We're still sending out missionaries, not like we used to, but they're still going out. And that's probably why we're still here. But let's, as a people, as God's people, if you truly fear God, and you must to some degree, or you wouldn't be here this morning. If you fear God, let's humble ourselves and pray and say, God, please don't destroy America. Please give me another chance to talk to my boss about Jesus. Please give me another opportunity to give somebody a gospel track. Please don't destroy us. God, have mercy on America. Yes, do I sing God Bless America? You better believe I do, but I also sing in my heart, God, have mercy on America, and God, forgive America. The voice of the cattle is gone. The voice of the singing in the streets is gone. All you hear is when you talk to people in the neighborhood or in the supermarket, oh boy, things are tough, things are bad. They don't have to be that way. Let's bring righteousness back, and it starts right here in this house. It starts right here. Let's pray. Lord, we love you today, and I thank you, Father, for your precious word. God, I'm begging of you, Father. Help us as your people to see the hour. Lord, surely you're coming back soon. And wickedness is out of control, Lord. And it's not just America, it's all around the world. Idolatry and every conceivable notion, Lord, is everything that comes into men's hearts, they do it. God, as your people, we beg of you, help us, Lord, to be more active, getting out there, winning souls, telling people about Jesus Christ, telling them, Lord, that you're coming soon. Lord, help us to see the lateness of the hour and to be busy, not pursuing these other things, the soccer and the karate, but be busy about telling people about Jesus Christ before it's too late. Oh God, we know in eternity we'll not regret one single minute we spent on soul winning or reading our Bible or prayer time. Help us now, Father. With every head bowed, every eye closed, this was not really a salvation type message, but if you're here and you know the Lord is your Savior, you know the things that I said came out of God's Word and they came out of a heart of seeking revival and repentance in this country. Maybe you're here today and you'd say, by the uplifted hand, Brother Mark, I know the Lord is my Savior and I know I'm saved. I don't struggle with that. I remember the time I got saved. Here's my hand as a testimony. Please lift your hand if you know you're saved. Nobody looking, please. Thank you. You can put them down. Maybe you're here and you'd say by the uplifted hand, well, I got to be honest with you. If I died right now, I'm not 100% sure that I'd go to heaven. But I sure would like to know. Is there anybody like that? You just slip your hand up and say, please pray for me. I'm not sure I'm going to heaven. Yes, sir, I see that hand. Thank you. Yes, I see that hand. Thank you. I'm not sure I'm going to heaven. Please pray for me. Anybody like that? Anybody else? Just slip it up and take it back down, and I'll pray for you. I'm not going to come to you. I'm not going to embarrass you or point you out. I just want to pray to you, pray for you. Then maybe you're here and you'd say, Brother Mark, I know I'm saved, but I haven't been doing what I ought to be doing for the Lord. I've not been telling others about Christ. I've not been busy reading my Bible, praying, those things that are really important. Please pray for me. Anybody like that? Yes, all over. Yes, God bless you. Yes, all over. Thank you. God bless you. Lord, you've seen the hands and you know the hearts. I pray, Father, you'll help us to take this seriously, Lord. It is a serious thing. God, please bless America again. Help us, Lord, as your people to be busy proclaiming the gospel and exalting your word, proclaiming righteousness. Bless the invitation time now in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand and just play a verse of Just As I Am.